Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring. TCR for short, aka your favorite esports podcast. We are coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, January 18th?
We'll go with it.
18th, 2017. The time, 8:33 p.m. Central Standard Time.
You didn't do it this week. Nice.
Yeah, I have no idea if it's daylight saving time. It gets dark earlier. That's all I know. Episode 47, if I haven't said that yet. It's going to be a hell of an episode. Quite possibly the best one yet. And that is because it is the E-League Major Preview episode. So, if you really wanted to hear anything other than Counter-Strike, I apologize. This is not the episode for you. Maybe League of Legends will be next week. I'm just kidding. League of Legends is not next week. It's never. We're going to mix it up a bit, though, for the show. Rather than doing like an e-news, a news type of segment at the end, we're going to start the show with it. And then that way, you know, it gets your appetite going. You get all that at the front. So in case all you really wanted to do was hear the headlines, boom, got it. And then you can, you know, zone out during our discussion and opinions that you probably don't care about. But real quick, before we get into yesterday's news today, I did just want to give a quick little update on the show because there was like a few of you who asked. And when I say a few, I mean like two people, which is pretty good because if that, you know, listener per capita, that's like half of our listeners asked. So 50% of our listeners asked last week on what took the show so long to come out. We record typically on Wednesdays. I think like last week it wasn't up until Saturday. So reason being, oh, and by the way, I don't even think I introduced ourselves. I was so in the mode. I'm Tim. The other guy is Brett. Hello. You can follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring, and we each have our own individual ones. Fast forward to what I was saying. Took a while to get last week's episode posted since we recorded it. I apologize about that. What can you do? Brett is sitting with us again today. If you haven't noticed, Brandon is not here again. And for the foreseeable future is not, because he wanted to tap out of the show, which is cool. You know, he's got things going on. We don't get paid for this. We do it for the love of it. Completely understand. That being said, Brandon also has all the username and passwords to any of the sites that require to upload. I am the audio guy. Okay, I come up with show ideas. I run the board. I play the music. I do the balancing out. I edit the audio afterwards, and I make it sound all good. Brandon is the website guy. He makes it look pretty and uploads it. When he decided not to do the show anymore, he failed to give me that information, and it just took him a while to get it up. That's all.
Damn, shots fired.
No, that's what I said. It's just, I'm not going to fall on the knife. I mean, me and Brandon are still buddies. He's on the Discord, which you can join at any time, by the way. He's still part of the family, the TCR family. I'm just saying, it was not me that took forever to upload the episode. So that being said, this week I am figuring out how to upload it. It might be a day or two late again. I apologize, but by the time you're listening to this, it would already have been up. So deal with it. Anyways, that's it. That's your background story on why last week's took so long. Other background story, just to show notes and updates. Reason we were off 2 weeks or 2 months, I got married, which, shame on you, Brett, because you have been married. You never warned me how much a wedding takes up.
That's your own fault.
Like, I got married November 26th. Well, so the whole week of the wedding, you're slammed. You're not doing anything. Well, the week before the wedding, family comes in. So you have prior, week prior, the week of, and week after where family's still here. That's 3 weeks where you're just completely booked. And they definitely do not understand if you say, hey, I got to go do an esports podcast.
To be fair, you were pretty hands-on for this, for the wedding.
No, I did a lot of planning.
Yeah.
My wife did a lot too, but I also did a lot.
Don't sell yourself short, Tim.
But then we went on the honeymoon, which that was like another week and a half.
Jealous.
And then you had just holidays thrown in between, and that's where you find us now. So, again, we're back. We're going to be on a normal schedule. talking esports and out-of-date news, because that's what we do. Because we are brave enough, all right? None of those other Drop the Bomb, Room on Fire, Richard Lewis, Thorin, you think all of them are brave enough to talk about out-of-date news? No, they're not. They'll get you when you're hot. You know, they get the news right off the stove. We let it simmer, okay? We eat that burnt toast for you, the listener. But anyways, let's get on to the new news segment, which we like to call here, Yesterday's News Today. That's right. Yesterday's News Today. All of yesterday's hot, hot news stories. Let's start it off with a little bit of CSGO. Team Envious wins the WESG, also known as the World Electronic Sports Games, which, don't know if you care, but it is the biggest grand prize in CSGO history. That would be $800,000 they won. That wasn't the prize pool, like that wasn't divvied up between the 16 teams. $800,000 went into Envious's hands. So a team that is known for underachieving achieved at the best moment. This also is a tournament where Virtus Pro got third place, which is kind of spare considering the tournament really had no one in it. Like that was pretty much them and Envious's to take.
Yeah, what's a spatial soldier?
Right, yeah, they lost to some questionable teams. We had Flipside Tactics. They won DreamHack Leipzig 2017 after sweeping Big 2-0 in the finals, taking home a nice, respectable 50,000 grand prize. Nothing to the 800,000, but then again, everyone knows the rule here on TCR. We don't judge a tournament based off its prize pool. Okay, just because you got the money doesn't mean I need to care more. Misfits, Complexity, Renegades all qualify for DreamHack Masters Las Vegas 2015. That's right, Misfits qualify. If you have never heard of the team Misfits, that's because they recently acquired TSM's roster. Brett, yeah, I know you have some opinions there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, a weird deal going back to last week. You know, the standard CSGO drama.
Kind of what has the right of players and owners and all that.
Yeah.
We'll get into that more during the major talk because we can actually bring that up thanks to today's news, which was there's rumors now flying around that JW and Flusha are going to reunite with the band
and
get Fnatic back together after the major. And that is rumor regardless of the results. So Godsent could win the major, never drop a round, and we're still expected to believe that JW and Flusha are going back to Fnatic.
Whatever.
Look, when they left, I said it was stupid. Just because JW said they weren't having fun. I'm like, look, just because the going's getting tough doesn't mean you have to quit. Like, stick to... You were number one in the world and you had a couple bad tournaments. Like, that is...
That had the makings of, like, a dynasty. Dude, something they could sustain for years.
It was them and SK Gaming were just trading blows left and right, and then Fnatic gave it up. They wanted to switch because they weren't having fun anymore.
Yeah, they weren't winning anymore.
Moving on to Dota 2 news. TNC Pro Team won the World Electronic Sports Games for Dota. Okay, same thing that Envious won in CSGO. Again, earning $800,000 in their grand prize, which everyone knows that is not the highest paid for Dota 2. The international gets ridiculous numbers. Winners get a million plus. Still, though, nothing to poo-poo about there. The highest finish for TNC at a premier tournament, believe it or not. Also, Evil Genius, Wings, OG, and Newbie are the four invited teams to the second ever Dota 2 Asia Championship, which takes place March 28th through April 4th. That's just 2 weeks before the Kyiv Major. I probably mispronounced that. I'm sorry if you're Ukrainian and I mispronounced that city. That is, eight other teams will also have to qualify at later dates for that Chinese championship or Asia championship. Sorry. Whoa. In Overwatch, The OGN Overwatch Apex Season 2 just started yesterday. If you caught some of that, it is super early in the morning. So I don't blame you if you don't. VOD will be our friends on that one. I'm excited for that one, though, because we've kind of discussed it here. Like, we love Overwatch, but we just don't... There hasn't been enough tournaments or anything like that to really get to know the teams. Unless you're, like, these crazy people like Thorin who just happen to know everything about everything. Which we're not. We got things to do. This is going to be a nice way for us or just new listeners, new fans to kind of get into a swing of somewhat professional. Now, I'll warn you, this is a Korean tournament. So it's very heavily based Korean teams. There's only a handful of NA and EU teams. The majority of it's Korean that you'll never heard of, but they are good.
Yeah.
The Koreans can play. Also in Overwatch, Gods joins Cloud9 Overwatch as Kai Kai steps away from the starting roster. Kai Kai will be coaching, or I guess I should say trying out to be coach of Team Envious during the OGN Overwatch Apex Season 2 on a tryout basis. In other news, though, Smash Melee Genesis 4 is this weekend, Brett. In just 2 days, the 20th through the 22nd, Genesis 4.
I'm not going to lie. I enjoy watching it. And I know what those guys are doing. They mean to do what they're doing. But to me, it just looks like button mashing.
We'll get you there. Well, you got to watch Genesis 4. It's very entertaining. It's one of the premier tournaments. So it's like you got like the Big House, Genesis. You know, there's a handful of premier... So there's no circuit or anything like that for Smash. It's all very homegrown tournaments still. But if you had to call something a major, this would probably be one of the majors.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a big tournament.
I'll definitely tune in because, you know, I watched it at DreamHack last year and that was pretty intense.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It's awesome. And Genesis 4 is good. And even that, though, speaking of how that would be a major, some of the pros, actually, some of the big pros like Mango and the top guys all were in an interview. I believe it was with thescore.com mentioning how they want to have like a set league and seasons for Smash. They don't want, you know, they appreciate these homegrown tournaments and all these things, but they said it's a beatdown and the money's just not there. Like, you might win 100. I don't even think you win 100,000 yet for winning. Compared to other esports, it's very, very little. So we'll see how that goes in the future. Maybe with this new Nintendo Switch, Nintendo is going to focus more on esports. I know that they're focusing more on Splatoon, which is really embarrassing when, like, I don't know if you've ever seen a Splatoon pro match. You might get 40 viewers, and it's just uncomfortable to watch because it's just like the casters are really into it, but it's like, bro, there's like 20 of us here.
Just thinking about it, it's you know what? I'm gonna get really good at this game, and I'm gonna become pro.
You might as well because it's not that big of competition there. It's very uncomfortable to watch when there's only like 20 people there.
Maybe that's our calling, Tim.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that one, though. Oh. Just going to pass. It wouldn't... Winning a Splatoon tournament probably wouldn't pay for our plane tickets.
Probably. Anyways, right.
So there you go. There is yesterday's news today. I hope you enjoyed that at the front. If you didn't, if you absolutely hate having the news at the front, let us know on Twitter, at the center ring. I don't know what I'll do for it. We'll probably still do it in the front for a couple episodes, see how it works out, and go from there. But in the most important news of the week in this episode and tonight, and that will be the E-League Major starting January 22nd, fastly approaching. This weekend, the group stage, I guess you can call it, will begin. And they're not doing groups, though. They're doing the Swiss format. So explain to me, Brett, what is the Swiss format?
All right.
They've done it before.
Get your pens, get your pencils, get your paper. Get ready to write this down. You really don't need to write it down. It's not that complicated, but it is. All right. So the matchups were random to begin with. There was no rhyme or reason why one team played another. It just happened that way. It was a draw. So the way that it works is each round, you will play a team that has your similar record. So for example, after the first round, a team with one win is going to play a team with one win as well. And the way that they choose the one win teams is completely random. It's through a draw. So you don't know who you're going to play in the second round, even after you win. You won't know until they draw. Same with losing teams. Losing teams will play other losing teams. Again, a draw. And once you have three losses, you are eliminated. You're donezo. Your tournament's over. You take your mouse and keyboard and go home. And if you get three wins, you advance.
Automatically.
Automatically.
I don't hate this format. As a fan, as a viewer, I like it because it kind of promises you the best matchups of at least in the tournament. Like, winners will play winners.
Yeah, right. You can't say, you know, they just had an easy road. They just had an easy road to groups. And
well, because sometimes when you do the four groups, it's bound to happen where one group you'll have SK, and then the rest will be like, throw in whatever spare CLG phase and, you know, Heroic or whatever other team manages to get into the tournament. And you're kind of like, okay,
all right,
like, what are we even doing here?
Yeah. And then you just cry, fix.
Right. So I do like it for that way. And every team kind of plays each other more so in groups, and eight are making the playoffs. Okay. Now, as someone, though, who has a show and gets to break it down, it gets a little bit more difficult because we can't just predict winners or anything. You're really predicting the entire tournament. So right. I think what we should do, just for the sake of being it compared or making it somewhat organized, is what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the matchups in round one. Not really looking at the matchup in general. Like, for example here, like Flipside FaZe. I really don't care about how they're going to do against each other, but it's an excuse for us to bring up the teams in that matchup, talk a little bit about them and what our expectations are, kind of how they've been performing and what we think is going to happen in the major. Are they going to make it out of groups into playoffs?
Right. Because, I mean, in CSGO, more so than any other sport, momentum is key. There's in form. If you're in form, you have a shot.
Well, and even think of just in the middle of a match, you know, I'll use Liquid, for example. How many times have they've had 15 on round 15, then all of a sudden they lose that momentum and just they lose it. And then SK just walks away with it, you know, or pick a team. It happens to you in a pug match, right? It happens to us all where after the game, you're like, how the hell did we lose that or get a draw?
Yeah, I mean, before Astralis started doing well, they had a match against NiP where they had it within one round with, like, I believe NiP had like eight rounds. NiP came back and won that match. I believe it was like 16 to 14.
And bringing up kind of momentum, the one thing that stands out in this tournament for me, or I guess one of the storylines for me, is I know your big thing, because you have a lot of notes there, so I'd hate to just throw them away for you. But at the same time, we're somewhat starting with a clean slate. It's so early in the year that some of these teams have not played in a long time. Na'Vi, I don't think, has played since like November 11th. They're over 2 months now where they haven't played.
Right.
Now, I think it's because they knew we weren't doing the show for 2 months. And they were like, well, what's the point of even playing if they can't talk about us? That's probably why. But they haven't played for two months.
Yeah, I mean.
And most of the other guys haven't played since early December.
Yeah, I mean, they were doing qualifiers. I think the team that hadn't played most recently, the next team was, like, I believe, North. But they hadn't played since December the 18th, but if you think about it, that, I mean, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but that's a month.
That's a month away of, and yeah, they're scrimming and they're practicing in the
right.
in between, but they don't have that
LAN experience.
Yeah, they
right.
don't have that same hype or whatever. Where, for example, Flipside, they just won DreamHack Leipzig, so they are coming in with that kind of swagger of, hey, we just won our first tournament since 2015, we can do this. We can keep our legendary status. And then you want to bring up, and I know we're jumping around, but we'll get to each individual team here in a moment. Right now, we're just kind of talking about momentum. Team Liquid, who just failed to qualify for... what was the tournament they failed to qualify for? I got it here in my notes. Give me two... Vegas. Las Vegas. So they failed to qualify for DreamHack Las Vegas, losing to Complexity.
I watched that.
It was ugly.
It was.
Now... The weird thing with Liquid is, so they've been boot camping in the Netherlands. I'm sure there's a reason why they chose the Netherlands. There's probably was a tournament going on and they just felt in that particular time Netherlands were the better place. And the reason, I don't think they were using as an excuse, but I know people were, is the fact that when they lost to Complexity in the Vegas qualifiers was because they've been playing for hours, starting at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And by the time they were done, it was 6 or 7 in the morning there. So they just played all the way through the morning. So their sleep schedule was all messed up. They were practicing on like 120 ping servers and it wasn't ideal situations for them. So is that the best thing to do before a major is boot camp over there? I don't think so. Especially when you lose to that tournament and your confidence is just shattered. Now, on the other side, where some people say, and I don't think there's really any proof of this, is that in these like little qualifier tournaments where teams might not care as much leading up to a major, kind of like how Virtus Pro lost, right? They say it's because teams are trying new strategies in these qualifier tournaments. Like when they know for a fact, like Liquid knew for a fact Complexity was going to come in there guns blazing, like, because that to them that they want to qualify for Vegas, but to Liquid they're like, we have a major coming up, we're okay not going to Vegas, and so they'll try new strats. I don't know if that holds any water, but that is something out there.
I guess, but when you have, you know, Pimp, Hiko, JDM, you still got to win those.
I mean,
matches.
I agree with you. You could easily make the argument that a tired Liquid should probably be a Complexity.
Right.
But they're still in the major, so you know, we're not here to judge them for not qualifying in Vegas. So but will that loss kind of hinder their ability or their mental ability, I should say? Only time will tell. But let's get into this. So Flipside FaZe is going to be one of their round one matchup against each other. Flipside, like we've said, just coming off of the high of winning DreamHack Leipzig. And really, we talked about it earlier today off the show. Flipside is, people don't give them credit, but they're always there.
It is the ultimate, you know, when you hear someone, just get me in the tournament, you know, and anything could happen. They have been in every major tournament since 2015.
Since they started majors.
Yeah.
I believe they might have missed one in there, but I think it's ever since they started majors, they've been there.
They get there, but they don't get past groups.
No, I think last major was the first time they ever made it past groups, and they finally earned that legendary status that's been eluding them for so, so long. I think they lose that legendary status, though. I don't see them making it out of top 8.
Yeah, I mean, it to them, you know, I look at their schedule, and it's like the ultimate, you know, bringing it to college football. College football teams, they'll play like 3 or 4 spares before they start like their divisional rounds to build confidence and to prevent loss. I mean, if you look, they've only lost 2 matches in their last like 12, albeit... I mean, they're playing against, you know, LDLC, Vega Squad, you know, Heroic, Kinguin. So, I mean, they're not like huge names, but I mean, they have that winning momentum going into this tournament, which I think there's something to say about that.
I think there's something to say about that for maybe the first round against FaZe. But I think, because you got to think, so they beat FaZe. I think they will beat FaZe. But now you're going with the winners. And I think eventually they're going to hit a wall where I almost probably think the Swiss format is going to hurt them in the long run. where they probably would have done better getting lucky and getting an easier group rather than in a Swiss format where you're playing against the winners every time.
And we want that. We want that.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. They have some, you know, major performers on that team. I mean, if World Edit gets hot, you know, anything can happen. I mean, because we've watched major tournaments where one player will just like flip a switch.
Oh, yeah. During, what was it, E-League season one, two? World Edit like set the record for like highest kills or something like that. Like something ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean,
I forget it off the top of my head, but it was in an E-League season where.
Right. And looking at the past 3 months, I mean, his KPR, if you guys don't know what KPR means, that's kills per round. He's up there in the top echelon right now of you know, players in that category at 0.77. That's not too shabby. So, I mean, he's going in hot. We'll see.
And then on the other side of them, you have FaZe. FaZe is always, especially ever since they added Kerrigan, now they have Kiyoshima for a little bit there. They've kind of always been a team to me that just underperforms. They're very underwhelming.
Yeah, and you know, they have the talent on that roster to make it out of groups. To me, I think they have a really good chance of making it if they can get anything out of Kerrigan. Just recently, he's been stinking it up. So if they can get anything out of Kerrigan, those other guys, they're solid. They'll do their job. But, I mean, I think it really comes down to Kerrigan, and which Kerrigan are we going to get?
I agree. Moving on here, you have the first and one of the few, actually, now that I look at it, I guess I never looked at it before. There's only two North American teams in this entire tournament. The first one is Team Liquid, who, for whatever reason, performs really well at majors. Also, side note, for like what the last two majors they've had Simple,
right?
So that will help your case when somehow you're able to pick up Simple for every major off.
Not this major.
No, not for this one. And they have not been playing well, I think, recently. I still feel like JDM has been a spare opper. I feel like, I don't know if you have his stats in front of you.
And yeah, I do. And for an opper, I mean, you should be up there in kills, well, because you are the person that is supposed to get that pick.
You should be up there in kills, and you should be up there in ADR, considering one shot is going to at least get you 75.
Right, and if you look at him as far as oppers go, he's kind of in that lower tier right now in KPR. And yeah, I mean, they need him. They need him to get those picks, open up the sights, and just, you know. I mean, Hiko's not gonna carry you. I mean, he'll have flashes, you know, one or two rounds where he just takes over, but you need your opper to do his job, and he hasn't been hitting his shots. And if you look at like the last 10 matches, they've only won two. They've only won two matches against Luminosity and one against Na'Vi. But I mean, if you look at their losses, I mean, Complexity, Renegades, Immortals. You know,
and I think one stat that does not get shown on anything, because there's no way to measure it, but it's clutch. And to me, JDM is the opposite of clutch. I feel like he always misses, and this might just be my personal opinion. Actually, it is my personal opinion, but I feel like every time I watch him, anytime he has a chance to just get that kill to swing the match, he misses. And then they'll kill him, they'll take over the bomb site, and it's game over, move on to the next one. And I feel like I probably judge him too hard because he is on Team Liquid. And when he was on CLG, he was really good.
Yeah.
He was like the guy with him and Tarek being on CLG that made CLG a contender. And then so when he moved over to Liquid, you had all these expectations of like, they just took CLG's best opper. And then just nothing. It has not translated well for me at all. And they've kept them around, though. I think that current roster has been around for long enough to where you would assume that they should be good.
Yeah, I mean, the newest addition is Pimp, but I mean,
that's been around. That's a solid player. I mean, that's Pimp has been on there since the last major.
Yeah.
So he's been around there well long enough. And I remember a time where Liquid was considered top 10 in the world.
Yeah.
And now depending on who you're looking at, Gosu Gamer has him at 26 in the world, which is a little weird because Gosu Gamer does it off of points in your game. So it's kind of like if you're an inactive team, you're going to be lower than what you probably should be. But even then, HLTV has Team Liquid at 14.
Yeah, I thought I saw him at 17, but even so, it's like, come on.
Oh, yeah, 17.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. HLTV has Liquid at 17. This is a team that for the longest time, Thorin had them in like his top five.
Right. Which even at that time was like, what are you
doing? I haven't looked at Thorin's rankings in a while. They could be in his top three for all I know.
If they are, I'm done.
Because, yeah, you're right. Even back then, we were kind of like, all right, dude. All right. I know you're friends with Hiko, but come on.
Yeah, I know.
Come on. Top five, bruh.
I do not see them making out and making it out of that you know, first stage.
You don't see them making it out of groups.
Yeah, I don't. I honestly don't. The way they've been playing recently, I just don't see it. I mean, I don't see it.
I'll give them groups. I'm not that cold blooded. I'll let them get out of groups.
Oh my god, yes.
Because I think there's a few teams in here that we'll get to in a little bit, but like teams like Gambit, I don't see making it out of groups. But we'll get to them. We'll get to Gambit here in just a little bit. Because we got the team that's playing Na'Vi in the first round. I said it earlier, they're a wild card, man. Team Envious. Where do we begin with Team Envious? Because they just won, you know, the WESG. They've been a team that's, for the last year now, has been talking about how Happy's going to leave and Kenny S is going to blow up the roster and the team will not be what we, you know, like what they are now, they won't be this way in a month. But that's been, seriously, when I went to MLG Columbus, I remember people, and that was last March, people were talking about that. Almost a year ago, people were talking about how Happy took off the jersey right when the round ended. Do you remember that? I think that was in E-League.
Right. And yeah, at MLG, they didn't make it out of groups there, right?
No.
They didn't.
No. Maybe that's when he took off his jersey.
Yeah. At ESL-1, Cologne, and MLG, they did not make it out of groups.
Now that I think about it, I think it was MLG, where during the qualifiers, they lost and like Happy immediately took off his Envious jersey. And people just looked way too much into that.
Yeah, and then you had the Twitter spout between, what was it? It was Kenny S and MBK
right.
going at it. But
then you had E-League where Kenny S was caught on camera just blowing up on everyone.
Yeah,
just which, but. Hey, I don't judge a man for raging.
Winning, yeah. But
even though I'm pretty calm when I play games.
Oh, okay. Now, I mean, winning cures all, right? If you're winning, everyone's happy. They haven't lost a match, and I'm looking here at the last 10 matches. They haven't lost. I don't believe they've lost a match. They've lost some rounds, but I don't believe they've lost a match in their last 10 games.
No, they've tied a few with Virtus Pro and Epsilon and everything. But you are correct. In the last 10, they haven't lost a match. Not really up against like huge teams, you know. Yeah, well, I mean, Tyloo's pretty good. They've beat them twice in the last 10 match. Virtus Pro, I see there. The rest have all been kind of questionable, but hey, you got to beat those questionable teams, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like those questionable teams, those tier two Russian teams or Polish teams or any team, right? Those tier two, three teams, those are the teams where if you beat, you're like, yeah, you probably should beat those teams. I'm not going to give you a cookie. But if you lose to those teams, then we got an issue.
Right.
So I'm going to give them credit for beating the teams that they should beat.
Right.
And I agree with you. When they're winning, everything's good. I will give credit to Envious, though, in the sense of they've stuck with it. Similar to Virtus Pro, where I know Virtus Pro has been on record that the last thing they ever want to do, like they have never once thought about doing a roster change. Virtus Pro is like, we are the team. The only way this roster is going to change is if one of us retires.
Right.
And bails out. I don't know if it's the same for Envious because I know they have had roster changes like with Devil and everything, but I don't feel like they're like these other teams where they're just constantly switching out. Like for a while there, Liquid was like on a roster change every other month. And I feel like Envious has had their, they've had their moments where they've could have made a roster change.
Right.
But they didn't. They've stuck with the core group.
And it's paying off. And your Opper, your boy, your bae, Kenny S is going in pretty hot too.
I think he's good. I don't know why you don't like him.
It's just the way maybe I'm just giving him a hard time. Maybe
I think you are.
Maybe I need to look past the past couple of tournaments.
Yours is more of an attitude, right? You don't like his attitude that he brings to the team.
Yeah, I mean, he just like, and maybe it's just the camera catching him at just very unfortunate moments, but he just seems petulant to me. I don't know.
And you know, he could be that guy though. We all have that guy that you play with where they just get upset and you let them get upset. Like we all know you're not mad at, I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at the situation.
Right.
I'm yelling out of frustration, not at you, just out of frustration.
Maybe it's just me. When I play, I'm just chill. I don't say much.
Yeah, that's why you're gold rank in Overwatch and I'm diamond.
Damn.
On my way to GM.
I blame the placement system.
Yeah, well, whatever. let's not get into that right now because we could spend a whole episode on the Overwatch placement system. You have Na'Vi. Na'Vi, again, we've brought up earlier where they have not played in over 2 months. I know before then, they were having their issues. But recently, Simple, you know, in those, Simple has been playing well. But hasn't the team been having, they were kind of on a shaky ground when Simple joined. They won ESL New York. But apart from that, they've been kind of.
Yeah, I mean, you look back at just the most recent match, and you know, Simple wasn't a part of these, but you know, there was MLG, they got second place. DreamHack Open in 2015, second place. They're there. They're always there in those majors, but they just come up short. And if you look at their last matches, they've been all over the place. I mean, and they've been playing against tournament teams. You know,
So the Epicenter was their last one. Well, it wasn't their last one, but it was their big tournament where they didn't win a single round or single match. Like they did not pick up a match. They only came out of that entire tournament winning two rounds.
Right. And if you look at it going in, just looking at tournament teams just recently of what they played, you know, they have losses to Astralis, but who isn't losing to Astralis these days? They losses to Liquid, two losses to SK, one loss to North. So, I mean, it's, you know, they've gone up against competition that's going to be in this tournament, and they haven't done very well against them lately. But maybe this boot camp, you know, I watched Simple on Twitch. I love watching his game, his style. And, you know, it seems like the team's getting along. I see them on stream, and, you know, they're all buddy-buddy, and it seems like things are okay. It seems like he's happy.
I want to say that I think that they will do well because it's Na'Vi. Like you said, they do well at all majors and they're always there. I don't know though.
Yeah.
I think what's going to work best for Na'Vi's favor is that a lot of these tournaments or a lot of these teams in the tournament have had some roster conflict going on. And they're like one of the few that has been pretty chill for the last 2 months. Like, hopefully they just took these last 2 months off to focus on roster team building. Because, I mean, they're good. There's like Guardian doesn't have to work on his op. That was never the issue. It was just the execution was the issue. So hopefully they took these last 2 months and have just fine-tuned how to work as a five-man squad with Simple. I'm going to say they make it to the playoffs, but I'm not confident in it. We'll have to see what Na'Vi wants to show up.
And they're going to be one of the eight. You're not saying that.
I'm saying that they might not be one of the eight.
Really?
If they're the Na'Vi that was before this 2 month break, no, they're not going to make top eight.
Yeah. I mean, we've watched a lot of these majors and, you know, one player can take over. I mean, you look at Simple last 3 months. 0.87 KPR. That is insane. If you look at just, you know, the top performers, you know, in that category, I mean, he's going in hot and you know, he may even be the best player in Counter-Strike. And yeah, I think he's most definitely more talented than Guardian. Maybe I'm going on a limb myself in saying that, but I mean,
Simple has always frustrated me in the sense of, though, he will make it some bonehead plays.
Yeah, I mean, he tries to do too much sometimes.
One stands out to me when he was playing with Liquid and they were playing Mirage and he was in Sniper's Nest. Mm-hmm. There was a dude right underneath it coming out of Underpass. Mm-hmm. All he had to do was just not chase. And he did. He jumped right out of Sniper's Nest. Midair, just giant target on him, and he died. And it's like, dude, you didn't have to chase there.
Right.
And it doesn't take a pro to know that.
But, you know, now, you know, maybe he doesn't make those mistakes anymore with, you know, that veteran leadership that's on that team. You know, maybe they've coached that out of him. We'll see.
And that's what I'm hoping. Like I said, I really do hope over these last 2 months. I like seeing Na'Vi win, but I'm going to stay on the fence on that one. I'm going to stay neutral and say I won't be surprised because they're Na'Vi if they go through, but I won't be surprised if they don't go through.
Okay.
Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to play both sides of the field there?
Sure.
It's my show. I can do whatever I want. They have, they're playing Mouse. Mouse Sports is Mouse Sports. I don't ever have anything to say. I like Mouse Sports. They got Nico, right? Mouse Sports, Nico.
Nico, yeah. And I mean, Chris J has his moments.
They're good enough to make it to the tournament, but...
Yeah, I mean, and they're another one of... It's another one of those teams where they don't make it
You'll see them in all the majors, but they always have to fight through qualifiers.
And they've been in pretty much every single major since 2014.
And I feel that's because Nico can carry them there.
Right.
Between Nico and some clutch plays by Chris J, he can get them to the major. But it's breaking that seal and going further where they can't do it.
Yeah, Nico is definitely going to have to be the carry on that team for them to make it out. And I don't think they have a chance in hell of making it out.
No, I do not either. Then you have the most... for sure bet in a major, and that's Virtus Pro. I've said it the last major and the major before that. I will never, ever bet against Virtus Pro at a major again.
You would hope that your number five team makes it out. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. They just find a way.
I've done it before. I've lost too many stickers, too many skins to Virtus Pro at a major because they never look sharp. You know what Virtus Pro reminds me of? If you have to compare it to a traditional sports team, the Spurs. The San Antonio Spurs is Virtus Pro. It's just a bunch of old dudes who play really weird looking style of skill, but they make it work.
Right. I mean, they have, you know, they'll have a good season, but when it comes to the playoffs in basketball or, you know, LAN majors, they just show up and they perform and they're exciting to watch.
They know when they have to show up. They can, all these little tournaments in between, obviously they would want to win and I'm sure they are trying to win, but they can't deny it that there is something about a major that makes them perform better.
Yeah. And
might not be intentional, but it's definitely there.
They'll make it out of groups, but they have a history just looking at the last three majors. Third place. You know, they get there, but they come up just short. But my team's not in the tournament, but they have my rooting interest. I'll be watching every VP match, just rooting for them because they're a likable team. You look at that roster and you can't just point out one guy and say, I hate that guy.
No, you can't. Especially now that Taz is he's a baby daddy. He just had a kid recently, so maybe that will affect him. You guys got something in common. Maybe you can hang out.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe you can go to the tournament and your kids can hang out.
Yeah. Well, just teach me your ways.
So it's funny that you said that Virtus Pro is just, it's a roster where you look at and you just love, and you don't really ever blame one person on Virtus Pro, right? Like, you're like, okay, all of you are good.
Yeah.
On the exact opposite side of that spectrum, you have Optic Gaming, a roster where you look at everyone on the roster and you're like, okay,
I'm old enough to be your dad.
Yeah. I got nothing for you. They got Tarek, they got Stanislaw, they got Rush. They have good people, but they just don't impress me. It's a squad made up of very talented players who, I get it. I get that they are in the top rankings.
Number two on HLTV.
I think it's a false number two. I do. They're also number two on GOSU Gamers. They've beat, you know, in their last couple of 10 matches, they've beat Hellraisers, they've beat NiP, Tyloo, they've lost to Astralis, FaZe, Astralis, but they've ended up beating Astralis once.
Exactly, twice they beat Astralis.
Twice?
Yeah, once, I believe twice. So, yeah.
Well, they beat them in a 2-on-1,
yeah,
best of three. Yeah. So in a match, though, they've beat them once. So yeah, you're right. They are the only team where in their last 10 games, which again, they have not played since December 18th in the qualifiers when they qualified for the tournament. But in all of that, in E-League Season 2, all the way through the qualifier, they have played only tournament teams.
Right.
They've only played top-tier teams.
Yeah, and if you look at their roster, they don't have one guy that's just going to be a carry on their team. But if you look, all of them have a KPR above 0.7, which is unheard of. No other team really has that. They're all solid players. And, you know, maybe that's really all that they need. I think they're definitely going to make it in the top eight. I think they're, I'm not going to say a lock, but I definitely have them making the top eight.
Yeah, I guess I could see them. I'm mainly trying to look at the top eight now and think who is not going to be there. And I think if you're looking at legends that were already invited, you had SK Gaming, Team Liquid, Fnatic, Virtus Pro, Astralis, Flipside, Gambit, and Na'Vi. Those are the eight teams that were top eight in the last major, so they automatically get an invite. The teams out of those that I definitely see out are Flipside, Gambit, and Fnatic. So for me, that's three for sure you're out of the top eight. Meaning there's got to be three other teams that make it into the top eight. And I think for me, those would be North, Envious, and I guess Optic Gaming by default. My third spot is up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right along there with you with those three teams being out. But I would take out North and just add FaZe. Because I think FaZe, they have the talent to make it out and to make it into that top eight. But, you know, I like where your head's at. I'm right there with you.
Remember North, though, which for those who don't know, North is former Dignitas. They were really hot going in. They won the Epicenter. I mean, they were top rank with a lot of people. And even right now, they sit at number six on HLTV's rankings. I think Dignitas is going in hot enough still. I'll be interesting, like we said, carrying that momentum. You know, can you carry that winning streak over a month period? You know, can you still hold that intimidation factor for teams and that confidence level? But I'm pretty confident in North. I'm more confident in North than I am FaZe. I think it's because with North, you have guys, you know, like Cajun B, like Magic Boy, who I feel have a little bit more comfortable track record.
He's definitely, Magic Boy, he's definitely going in hot. Number 14 on HLTV ranking. So he's coming along, coming into his own. Still young. He's like, what, 18?
Yeah, he's super young. And their first round is up against North, that is. North's first, I really don't like that team name, I've decided. I think it's too short or something. I don't know. It doesn't sound like a team name. Like, the more I say North out loud, the more I hate that word.
Yeah, new threads, new name. We'll see.
Former Dignitas is playing Gambit their first round, and I think that will help them out. I think they'll handle Gambit pretty smooth. Gambit is one of those teams which, for whatever reason, you only hear about during majors. They don't show up at these little tournaments very often. They are a CIS team, so they're primarily in Russia, right?
Right.
But I mean, what? They played at the qualifier for DreamHack. Maybe they're getting more of a name in there, but you typically don't see them playing up against these other top tier teams.
Yeah, I mean, they had a win against Godsent just recently, which, I mean, so it's a tournament team.
Are we calling Godsent a top tier team now?
And Cloud9?
I don't want to hear about Cloud9.
Fair enough.
Telling me you beat Cloud9 doesn't impress me. So I think that will help North, though, getting through that first round there. You have Fnatic versus G2 for the round one. So this is why I think Fnatic and Godsent, though. This is why I'm not putting them in the top 10. Because Fnatic and Godsent, like we said in the Yesterday's News Today segment to start the show, there's rumors going around that JW and Flusher are going to go back to Fnatic after this tournament, regardless of it.
Right.
Now, the COO of Fnatic said in a news report that that's not true. There's no talk of that. They have very open relationships with their players, and nothing has been said. But doesn't mean anything, but...
And players have egos, and if you know that you're on your last leg, you're like, screw you, dude.
They're going to go in wanting to win, but that the threshold of tolerance is going to be so small. You would like to think that a chance of 500 grand is probably enough for them to want to win. But dude, if you're Flusha, you just canceled, if you're Godsent and everything, you just bailed out of the WESG last week, and now there's rumors going on that you're bailing on the team. So that makes you bailing out of the one season last week, and now I think the picture is being painted, right? The writing is on the wall here where it's like, no, this has more to do than just you guys wanting to take time off before the major.
And if you look, I mean, Fnatic, they have just way too many things going against them. One, momentum, they have none. You look at their most recent losses. I mean, G2, Astralis, Optic, North, Godsent. Those are the most recent matches. They've lost them all. And not to mention, your best player is going into the tournament cold as ice. 0.68 KPR, which for Olaf, that is well below standard.
A player that was once renowned as one of the tops. He was arguably one of the best players in the world. He has not been the same since that original crew broke up.
He's only contributing 58% of the rounds lately in the last 3 months.
I really, really hope the rumors are true because I really, really want old Fnatic back because I love to hate them.
Right. They're like the Yankees in baseball. You look at them and they're just like, oh.
Yeah, but even then, I never really found myself liking the Yankees. I secretly like Fnatic.
Really?
I do. Like, I would totally buy a Fnatic hat or something. That being said, I think this is my thing. If I'm analyzing my opinion on why I like Fnatic, is because at the time it was Fnatic and SK always going at it, and I despise SK.
Yeah, fair enough.
So team that can beat SK, I'm totally good. Like, so my last name starts with a K and my middle name is Scott. And Morgan, my wife, was like, well, why don't we just name our kids Scott? I was like, no, I'm not going to have a kid with the initials SK. Not going to do it.
Wow, man.
It'll just be a disappointment. Every day I will be like, damn you. Damn you, son. So that's why I like Fnatic, though. But I really hope the rumors are true. I don't think Fnatic or Godsent are going to do anything at this tournament.
No,
I think it's going to be a swift and very painful end to them.
But hey, at least they're all going to be in the same place and they have plenty of time to talk about their future major championships.
And you know what? It wouldn't be the first time something happened underneath the table at a major. Looking at you, SK and Luminosity. Or I guess I should say Luminosity's former roster on SK. That's what happened at MLG Columbus, is that's when they signed the contracts. They signed it right before MLG Columbus to join SK, and then that's when they were feeling bad, and they won with Luminati. It's a mess. And so it could happen the same thing here. And for the COO of Fnatic to be like, well, no, we've never talked about this with our players, therefore, it's not true. Dude, how naive are you to where you think in a world of esports that the players have to go and talk to you first? If JW and Flusha go up to Olafmeister and say, hey, we want back on the team, and Olafmeister is okay with it, if he goes up to the Fnatic's organization and be like, hey, this is what's going to happen, or we're not doing anything, what do you think's going to happen?
Oh, I mean, the roster change is going to happen.
It's the nature of the sport right now to where there is no checks and balances, whether it be the organizations have too much power or the players have too much power. It is all situations. You know, it's every situation has to be treated as its own. And in this situation, Fnatic has no power. None. And neither does Godsend. Because if those players want to leave, Godsend has two options here. Either you tell them no, and they are playing on your team, which you know they don't want to play on, and it's just going to create tension and them probably not do anything and perform well. Or you let them walk, but you don't get anything in return. Or you let them walk, but you create a deal out of it with Fnatic, which is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Which is so funny to me, because when it all started, it made no sense to me why JW, Flusha, and Crims left Fnatic in the first place. Because they weren't just having fun anymore, and they didn't like practicing together and all that garbage, which, look, dude, that's what happens when you're constantly with the same group of five guys. I mean, there are times where it's like, even in our group of friends, I'm like, God, I'm tired of hearing this guy's voice. But then you get, you know, that's just part of playing a competitive sport.
Yeah. And historically, you look at, like, you know, famous dynasties, you know, top players, they just want to move on their own because, you know, they, again, there's egos, right? Like, hey, look, you know, I'm the best player in the world. I don't need you guys. I can do this without you, until you realize you can't
right.
do this
Flusha,
without
you. Flusha was the shot caller. He was the IGL for him for the longest time. But here's everyone saying how good Olafmeister is. And if things go wrong, who's going to blame who? So I could see why. I just don't agree with it. And now the fact that there's a chance that it all ends up being the same exact team, I will be so happy in an ironic way that they are so dumb to do it.
Right.
Like, you guys spent all that mess, all that time switching teams. You wasted so much time where you could have been the number one team in the world again.
You could have been winning more majors.
You could have turned it around, but no. Getting fourth or fifth place at tournaments was just too bad for you. So you thought, hey, you know what we can do? Just go to an entirely other team because that will start winning.
Yeah, and now you're playing catch up with SK, who have been together, and you're playing catch up with Astralis.
Na'Vi, all these teams right. that have been together for so long that haven't lost anything from it.
But that being said, Counter-Strike is more exciting when that team is together and doing well.
Yeah, and they could all join Fnatic and Fnatic win the next tournament. So, we'll see. It could all just be water under the bridge when it's all said and done, and Godsend just becomes a irrelevant team like they were before. That's how it works. Looking at G2, you know, G2 is another one of those teams. I throw in G2 with Mouse Sports and Optic Gaming where, yeah, you're a good team. There was a while there where you were a really good team, arguably number two in the world behind SK when Fnatic kind of went on their downturn. You have headshot machines like Shox and Scream that can just carry the team. In fact, in the major, because they had to qualify. So in the major qualifier tournament, you had Shox, who had the highest total kills of 129. His KD was a plus 42.
That's insane.
That's KD's not everything, but when you're a plus 42, it's something. That's yeah. something you can write home about. And then you had Scream with 68 total headshots. So they can clean house. Those two alone can clean house.
Yeah, but they're also another one of those teams that are, they're snake bit when it comes to major tournaments. I have here at groups at ESL 1, Cologne, and MLG Columbus. They don't make it out of groups.
Nope. I remember that. So we'll see. I don't think they make it out this time. I think they stay right where they are.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, because, you know, I don't have them making it in the top eight because they don't have that history of just showing up at majors.
They have not done anything recently to make me think otherwise. That's where I'm at with them. They have not performed well at tournaments. You know, ECS season two, they performed well at the qualifier, but they weren't playing really huge top tier teams. I mean, they lost to Dignitas. They beat Envious, but they lost to Godsend. I mean, they're all over the map.
Yeah.
On where they want to be that day. So I don't think they make it out of groups again. I think they're there.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, I have FaZe over them, which is saying something. But hey, mark my words. Mark it down.
It's recording. Yeah. I'm marking it right now. Did you have words that you wanted to mark?
No. That's it. FaZe is going to make it into the
top
eight.
Was. Yeah, that was it. You let up like you were going to mark my words. Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot.
Okay.
I had a little Stewie 2K moment.
No, I got you. I got you. All right. Write an open letter about it and let us know what you think about it in a twit longer later on.
I'm on it next Wednesday.
Okay. Thank you. This matchup's hard for me to talk about overall. So it's SK versus Hellraisers. I hate SK. And Hellraisers were the team that knocked out Cloud9 in the qualifier. So it's just rough for me overall. SK, how have they been performing recently since dropping FNX and picking up Fox?
I have it right here. Losses to Astralis, North, another loss to Astralis, and a loss to NIP. But, you know, they've beat some teams
They've turned around
too.
And beat North
twice. When
they were, Dignitas, Immortals. So.
Not a whole lot of momentum going into this.
No, but not a whole lot of skill drop off. I mean, they only played a total of 5 matches in December total, and they went 2-3 in those matches.
Right. And I haven't really watched a whole lot of SK lately, so I don't know how Fox is kind of fitting into that dynamic.
Yeah. I'm with you. I have not either. Just being on the honeymoon for the month of December, I haven't been able to kind of see how that works. I know they really did FNX dirty. You know, did you know how... I didn't know this until when I read up on it. Because like I said, I was on honeymoon doing stuff.
Oh, God. All right. Remember, this is a family show.
Yeah. Did you know how FNX found out he wasn't on the team anymore?
No.
He saw it on HLTV. That's how he found out.
They live in the same house?
I don't know. Maybe he was on vacation. No, that's how he found out. He's like, he tweeted out saying, like, just saw on HLTV. Good luck to the boys. Like, damn. And I know things get leaked out, but come on. You got to go to him first before you start telling everybody. So that's how he found out. It was really dirty. They never even went to him first to be like, hey, this is what we're going to do. So they got everything worked out first and then let him go. Which... It was reported as internal problems is why they removed him. It wasn't a skill thing because he was good. I mean, he was one of the best on the team.
Yeah.
But that was reported on one of the reasons on why he left. So they picked up Fox.
He's not from Brazil.
Oh, no.
He's Portuguese. I guess they speak the same language. But
oh, yeah, they do. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, but when you have ColdZera... And you have Fallen on the same team.
And you have Taco, who will buy an auto sniper on you.
Yeah.
Taco will not hesitate
to
pull out
that
auto
sniper.
He's
one of the best riflers in the game, too. And, I mean, at ColdZera, looking at the HLTV rankings, if he's not number 2 or number 1, I will flip my desk because yeah, that's insane.
They only got one and two left, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
When are they announced?
I believe tomorrow and the next day.
Okay, so they do one a day?
Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, looking at his KPR, 0.8.
I think they have Simple as number four, too, so you know he's already out of the
list. He's almost getting a kill per round, which is insane. It's ridiculous. He's insane.
So I think they will... who's the favorite, then? Who would you go here as your favorite in the tournament?
Oh, I mean, there's no doubt Astralis.
Astralis is your favorite going in.
Oh, yeah.
Just given recent performances and everything there.
Yeah, given recent performances. I mean... Here, I got their matchups right here. Get ready for this. Wins against Optic, SK, FaZe, Optic again, Virtus Pro, SK again, NIP, Godsent, G2, NIP again. They are beating tournament teams, and they're destroying dudes. I mean, it's insane. They've found a different gear. I mean... They haven't really, as far as majors go, there's not really a whole lot going into that, I believe.
Look at their track record for now, because if you look at their track record for majors, it's not good.
No, just looking at recent majors, third at MLG Columbus. And they did win ECS 2, but that's a non-major.
Right.
ECS Season 2. But yeah, not a whole lot to go on. But, I mean, you just look at the recent matches. They are the hottest team going in to this tournament.
I would really like to see, because who are they playing round one?
They have Godsent.
Okay. They're going to beat Godsent without a doubt.
I would bet the house on them being Godsent. I would bet my house that they would win.
I'll take that bet because I need a house. Astralis, I think, will do that. You said round one is all randomly picked?
Yeah, it was okay. That's what I read. I read that it was totally random.
Okay.
And just looking at the rankings, it makes sense.
Well, the only reason I ask that is because you don't really have like top tier teams playing against other top tier teams.
Yeah.
Like it's all conveniently placed where legends are playing.
Well, I mean, there's VP and Optic. That's number five and number two going at it in the first round, I believe, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but Optic was still a qualifying team. Like, I don't see any either way. My point being is that the tournament's going to really get interesting starting round two when you have those winners playing the winners, because that's where you'll see all these things that we've been talking about, how like, well, it's going to be interesting to see how they perform after they beat someone. Like, that round two is when it's really going to get interesting of being like, okay, SK, you just beat Hellraisers. Let's see how you perform against, you know, Astralis. Could you imagine SK Astralis in round two?
Oh, can't wait. That's why I'm starting to warm up to this, Swiss system.
It's not traditional.
It's not traditional.
I think it works best for esports.
I think it does too, because at that point it leaves no, you know, bitching. From other teams of, you know, they just had an easier road or, you know, fixed, rigged,
right,
scripted.
I mean, if anything, you could almost sandbag your way into the loser's bracket and then just beat up on the little teams. Not a smart strategy, but you could. You could.
Yeah, but I mean, you still have to get three wins eventually.
Right. But you're getting three wins against poor teams that have lost legitimately.
Yeah, but, you know, you have your top tier teams that are also going to lose against other top tier teams.
This is true. This is true. I think it will be an awesome tournament nonetheless. I think we touched on every team. I got nothing for Hellraisers.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely not a team that I had making it into the top eight. And
I mean, they were a team that I didn't even have qualifying until they finally did it, which... A fun fact that we actually discussed pre-show meeting. So in this major, in the E-League major, okay, there is no team, like every team in the top 20 is at least in the tournament. Like that makes sense, right?
Don't go there, Tim.
Like no one outside of the top 20 made this tournament.
Right.
Okay, so top 20 and up, you will find every team in the tournament at least in the top 20. top 10. 8 out of the top 10 teams in the world at the moment, according to HLTV, is in the tournament. There are two teams in the top 10 that have failed to qualify for the tournament. It just so happens to be that those two teams, one of them is my favorite team, and one of them is your favorite team.
Right.
Cloud9 and NiP failed to qualify for this tournament. So we have to watch this entire major with actually no rooting interest other than seeing SK lose.
Right. I'm right along there with you. And I'm not one of those, you know, guys that's like, my second team is Virtus Pro. No. My team is NiP.
I would like to see Virtus Pro win.
Live and die with the ninjas.
But I would also like to see Flipside win. You know, like I think anybody other than SK, I think would be a fun story to watch.
Right.
I cannot watch SK win again. I refuse. I will turn it off. I'll call Alchemist and I'll be like, turn it off.
Turn it off. Get them off my TV.
Get me, what's the Big Bang Theory reruns back. I'm done watching this. That being said, the finals are going to be on TBS.
Right.
So the whole tournament is going to be on Twitch like normal. The finals will be on TBS.
Yeah, and I was...
So let me ask you this, listener, and that is singular because there's only one of you. Especially this far into the episode, there's only one of you.
I bring more viewers, albeit their
your wife.
Family.
You got your wife. That is true. You brought one more.
She has to.
I thank you for that. For the finals, tune in to the TV. Turn off Twitch. Better yet, why don't you just put both on?
Yeah.
But turn on TV because, yeah, it's TV and it's esports and whatever. We're supposed to hate progress in esports. But we need to support esports on TV. Because that's where the big money is, and that's what will help us grow.
Yeah. I mean, and there's just something special about watching it on TV. You know, this sport that I'm learning to love and, you know, I'm getting into, and it's on TV. It's on TV.
Yeah, like
who would have thought?
Kids take advantage of it now because they have Twitch to watch.
Yeah.
Back when we were in high school, or like you know, you're like, what, 47? So back then, even when there was like some Halo tournament, half the time I wasn't even able to watch it online live.
Right.
Like I would have to go to YouTube and watch some video replay that they uploaded from the tournament.
And I refuse to watch nowadays.
Yeah. Well, now
I won't
you know
watch
the
a
results.
Sporting event. I won't
but
watch
before,
a sporting event. Recorded.
Yeah,
I
but
can't.
Before there, sometimes there wasn't that option to watch live. So you would just have to look at esports on a very, very tiny microscopic view of who won, who lost. And even if that, you know, you were lucky if you saw any stats.
Right.
You take advantage of it now that it's just on Twitch and you have every tournament going. And you could go on Twitch right now and watch ESL reruns or on any game, Overwatch, Counter-Strike, Dota, you name it. There's some rerun channel for pro matches. You got YouTube, all of that. But watch it on TV because it is something special. Also, the friend of the show, Alchemist, who was like on episode 3 or something of TCR, he's producing it. So help him out. He needs the money.
He's a good dude.
Believe me.
Yeah.
He needs the money.
Hell of an Overwatch player.
Yeah. Well, let's not say that. Let's not get too crazy here. All right.
Hey, he's a pro, Farah.
Definitely carry him. No, so check that out again. The finals will be on TBS. We got the normal crew in as far as the broadcast talent. Richard Lewis will be the host. Chris Puckett and Smix, a.k.a. Su Lee, they will be the reporters. Chris Puckett is awesome. I love him. He is an OG, by the way. You don't know who Chris Puckett is, do you?
No.
He used to be way, way, way back in the day, MLG.
Really?
He still does MLG, but like that's where he got his beginning from.
I'm telling
when
you,
I met
just,
him. He's a man that doesn't age.
Going with the talent, Richard Lewis has to be in my top 5 people that I would like to have a beer with.
He's pretty cool. Take it from someone who did have a beer with him. He is really cool. He's not going to listen to this show, so I can say this, and no one will ever tell him because no one listens to the show. His Twitter is a front. He's a really cool guy, like, and he's really nice. He's got kind of that British asshole aspect to him, kind of like, God, you're kind of a dick, but I can't really tell with your accent if that's just you or what. But he's actually really nice. So take that for what you will. His Twitter's a front.
Maybe he comes to Dallas.
I don't know. Maybe he'll be here for the ESL season finals for Dallas.
But I bet he would.
Richard Lewis, he's a really cool guy, and he will sit there and talk with you. And he will know you. He knew us before we introduced ourselves.
Really?
And it was very nerve-wracking when he's like, I know who you are. Like, oh, God.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for whatever I said.
Oh.
For analysts, you have Thorin and Moses. That's a big surprise there. If you've noticed, these are names you've all heard before because it's a rotating door of talent. It's almost like, you know, maybe there's other people who want to do it, but, you know, whatever. I'm just sitting here doing a podcast for free. yeah, but I digress. Commentators, you have Anders and Semler. Every time. Don't care. Pay them.
Yeah.
Pay them whatever amount of money you need to get Anders and Semler in your tournament. You got James Bardolph and DDK. Again, awesome, awesome combo. You have Henry G and Sadakis.
You know what? And that's actually my favorite group.
I think you're lying. I don't think you're being honest with yourself right now. They are good, and we'll stop there. I think you're lying. I don't know what it is.
I just find them entertaining.
That's weird to me. I think they're fine. I think they're good at what they do, but it's weird that you like them so much.
Yeah.
And then observers, you got Prius and Kevin S. Those are just the camera guys.
Okay. Hey, they play an important role.
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure people really in the know who they are, and I'm sure they're great people. So I feel like the best observers are the ones you don't hear about. It's the ones that you do hear about that you probably want to stay away from.
It's like a referee in basketball or an umpire in baseball.
It's the worst referees and umpires that you know. Same thing with observers. You don't want to know the name of observers. I think that's just going to about do it for episode 47. Any final thoughts on the major before we send this one off to bed?
I'm just ready for it to start. I'm so excited, man. A lot of my weekend's going to be tied up into that major tournament. Sorry, Lens. Sorry, Braden. Daddy still loves you.
They'll understand. Just tell them it's for the podcast that you don't get paid for. I'm sure they'll understand. What are your predictions then?
I would think that it's going to be an SK Astralis final, and I have Astralis winning.
Astralis takes it all the way, huh?
I think so. They're just too hot.
Astralis and VP final with Astralis taking it all the way.
Right. At least we agree on that.
Yeah, I do think Astralis is my favorite going in. I think VP will sustain enough energy to make it to second place.
Yeah.
I think then dropping off there, you have SK and Navi would play for third if there's a third place.
Yeah, but who cares about third?
No one cares about third, but that's where I think it's going to end up being. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to episode 47? Yes, 47 of the Center Ring, aka TCR. I hope you enjoyed the show. It was an extra long one. Extra long, but that's what we do for the majors, all right? We don't take these major preview shows very lightly here, because it's a big deal. If you like the show, let us know, or even if you hate it, let us know. I really take all criticism well. At The Center Ring on Twitter. You can find me at Pirate Mushroom. Brett is at
Dallas Homer.
Dallas Homer. Let us know what you think. You can always find us on our website, tcr.gg. There's a little Contact Us Now page. You can also just send us an email that way if you prefer. Maybe you don't have a Twitter. I don't know. I don't know what you do in your life. Again, episode 47 is done in the books. I thank you. We will be back next week, probably around the same time, depending on our work schedules, for episode 48, where will we be able to preview the major by then? Will it be over? No, it won't be over by then. Will it?
Maybe.
29th. No, definitely won't be over by then.
Okay.
But we should be able to preview the playoffs.
Eight. Yeah.
We will have a better idea on who the top eight are. So next week, we will preview the top eight. We will talk some more Overwatch, because that Pro League will be getting going here shortly with more matches. Until then, take it easy, and we will see you for episode 48 next week.